Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Hall of Famer Deacon Jones, and we're talking sports with Randy Harris.
This is Knockout Radio coming to you live from the studio. A little country music jam. Last time, Jimmy Kimmel telling you about how dumb you are.
He didn't say I was dumb.
He said something
illiterate.
Like that. I mean, I don't know if he was blind or not, but next to John Cena at the awards ceremony, did you see Cena's little outfit he wore?
I saw something on the internet or something. I don't know.
Because
he was naked.
Oh, but you can't see Cena. I mean, Matt knows. Look at him. Like, he knows you can't. So did anybody really see him naked, or was it just...
Well, no, they didn't see him naked because he was covered up.
It was a prop. It was the award category was for best costume. But they're saying there's conspiracy. It was an Illuminati initiation humiliation task he was forced to do publicly. So there's a lot of internet trolls talking about...
So John Cena can be forced to do something?
For sure. No
really?
Question.
Wow.
You saw him on Howard Stern open up about The Rock and how he, you know, didn't, you know, he apologized. And
The Rock apologized about what?
No, Cena apologized for being, you know, out of the WWE and The Rock. And he went on Howard Stern, like, apologized for his actions, said he was wrong.
Well, yeah, he said that about The Rock going to do movies and all that. And why did Cena do it? Because he's now out doing movies. So he's kind of following in The Rock's footsteps.
And they say he had to do a public humiliation to kind of get back into good graces with the powers that be.
Whatever.
So, but it was a pretty epic like outfit, though. The costume design, if you're going to do it, that's the way to disguise it, right? I mean, it's for a category of best costume.
Yeah, it made sense.
And it was the best costume of the night.
We have some bare knuckle tickets to give away.
Oh, nice.
Couple events coming up. One, they keep advertising it, and I've seen it at the Harley-Davidson in Pinellas Park, but it's really not. It's next door.
The OCC.
At the OCC.
Event Center. Yep.
My friends of my daughter run that place.
Okay.
You know, they used to run a hotel out on the beach. They went to school together, and now they're the big shots.
I got a call last night from Tim Cage. He asked me to ring announce next Sunday at OCC. Get back into these.
Good.
Octagon.
You're not getting in the octagon.
I mean, it's an octagon.
It shouldn't be.
Eight sides.
Is it really?
I don't know what you call it.
Is it really?
It's eight sides.
They use eight sides?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because I thought you said that the word octagon is...
It's trademarked.
Trademarked, but I don't know if they can trademark a shape.
Sure you can.
Can't trademark cologne. Can't trademark
You can trademark
recipe.
A lot of things.
No,
what's this? Gene Simmons trademarked the dollar sign.
No, that's different. That's a symbol. But like, uh-huh. But you can't trademark a recipe. I mean, if you change one grain of salt in a recipe, it changes the entire formula.
Right.
So,
okay. So
you know, there's certain things that are immune. And then China doesn't respect any of it. So
well, I know.
They just do whatever.
Neither does Canal Street or the street in Colombia that we know about. Or, you know, it's all the same thing. So
you want to know what small world it is? Speaking of Colombia, I met a former Special Forces guy.
Is this a quick story?
Yeah, it is. And he went down to buy Accelerator as a patient. And he didn't know anything about the UFC. Didn't know anything about all the wrestlers going down. But he went down there for stem cell work. So I said, I know those guys in Medellin.
Yeah, I'm going down.
When are we going?
No, we're not.
Why can't I go?
Oh, because, you know, you're number three.
That's not true.
Number two has to go to videotape. And number one is on the phone with us right now as he gets ready to get back in doing what he does in Ireland next Friday. Let's welcome to the program for the first time, Jeremy Kennedy. Jeremy, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about Bellator 302, just right around the corner. I'm curious, do you have to prepare differently, not, you know, in practice and preparation, but preparation to travel? And what do you have to take different that you may not need if let's say, the fight was in Vegas?
Yeah, so the biggest part is just traveling when you're cutting weight. You know, it's and then the time change as well is what you always got to worry about, but... For my career, I've spent a lot of it overseas, and you know, in fighting different people's hometowns in Brazil, Australia, Morocco. So I've kind of like I'm used to it, you know. So for other fighters, I can see it being difficult, but I pack part, I leave a lot earlier so that I'm not necessarily cutting weight during the travel, so I can kind of eat a little bit. So I'm actually leaving this Friday, a full week beforehand, and then that'll give me a couple days to adjust to the time zone and get my sleep in order, and then, you know, boots on the ground and figure out where the food is and all that.
How difficult, and I always ask fighters this, you know, it's, and I always say it, it's a work week or a work 2 weeks, whatever it is. Your main focus is obviously the fight a week from Friday. But to also maybe enjoy, if it is a different city or if a different country, you've never been there, how is that such a fine line to walk?
Yeah, I mean, I stick to strictly fitness while I'm out there. I usually just stick around a couple days after the fight. That way, you know, I can enjoy the food of whatever city I'm in, or just sightseeing and all that. But prior, I don't really enjoy too much of the city just because I'm so focused on the fight. And they keep us pretty busy, you know, with you know, like photo ops and conferences and all that kind of stuff. So I'm pretty busy when I'm out there. And it is a fine line to make sure that you aren't on vacation. You know, it is a work week. That's why I like to stick around, but after.
Perfect. And one of the items that, you know, that I was always thinking about when I talked to the fighters about preparing is as simple and as silly as a power cord. You know, they're not the same all over the world, and if you don't bring the right one, you could be screwed.
That's exactly. That's why I have my career of fighting overseas has paid off. Like, I got a bag of, like, a bunch of universal outlets. And then, like, I have, like, a travel portable sauna just in case, because I never really know what I'm going to deal with, whether, like, to cut the weight, if I have access that to a sauna or a bathtub or whatever, how we cut weight is... And then a food scale and just all these little things that I think I'm going to need, I just make sure I have out there with me.
So Jeremy, I know you come from Canada. You know, recently there was the first bare knuckle, made his debut in Edmonton, Toronto, UFC, obviously recently. Well, what's the fight culture like now there? I mean, do you stay in touch with it? I mean, obviously we know GSP and the greats, you know, Elias Diodoro, rest in peace. But, you know, what's the fight culture like in Canada? Because it seems like it's growing rapidly now.
Oh yeah, it was on the rise, and then it kind of slowed down around COVID, just because it took Canada a little bit longer to get going again compared to the, you know, the States and stuff like that. But since then, it's been booming, man. Like the scene, especially in BC where I'm from, Battlefield Fight League is local promotion there, and they're putting on shows, you know, every other month, and they're on Fight Pass. So they have good streaming, and then all the gyms are just booming out there too. So it's, I think in the next few years, you're going to see a lot more guys making it to the bigger shows, the UFC, the CFL, Bellator, whatnot. It's just a little bit of a catch up, you know, just with experience wise.
And in our first segment, I asked Randy if he agreed with me that, you know, hockey is the first bare knuckle boxing organization. do you drop the gloves or do you keep them, you know, on if you're a hockey player?
Yeah, you're dropping the gloves, you're dropping the helmet. The ice makes it a little bit more challenging too, so it's even harder.
Jeremy, let me ask you this, because, you know, I ask fighters, you know, when you have a change of opponent for whatever reason, and obviously in this case it's a good reason, and we'll get to that in a second, but is sometimes a change of opponent a good thing to kind of like re-energize as you get closer to the fight, that now you have other things to kind of keep you occupied?
Yeah, like, well, especially for this one, obviously with the opportunity, but it is an ideal, typically, when you're training for a certain style and then it getting changed kind of last minute. You gotta make some switches and all that. During camp is never easy, but for me, I've been training for this opponent specifically for almost a year now. So when I got the switch, it was actually better for me because I spent more time focusing on him than my previous opponent.
Interesting. And with the change and now you fighting for the title, how do you keep, you know, that out of your mind, you know, and keep this just, it's another fight in the Bellator system. Title doesn't really come into play. How do you do that?
I don't think that still, that title is even more motivating. And okay. I think that's going to help my performance. I'm not looking at it as pressure. Because he's the champ, he's defending, I'm coming from there to challenge. So now I go out there, I fight I do everything I can, and I walk away with that belt, and it's just giving me the extra the push I've needed, especially switching from 3 rounds to 5 rounds. Just makes me that much more sharp these last few weeks.
Give me your thoughts on the champion, on Pitbull.
I mean, he's obviously the Bellator GOAT. You know, he's like the face of the promotion, and he's a guy I've had my eye on for well before I was even in Bellator. You know, I've been he's been a champion for so long now that you're always looking at the landscape of your division, and he's that guy that's been at the top, and I've always thought I've matched up well with him. Just my style of pressure and my grappling, I think I have a big advantage there, and I think I'm a lot bigger of a guy. I think he's going to have a hard time dealing with his size, my youth. It's just all going to come together, and I think he's starting to decline. I don't think he's kind of written off like everybody's trying to do to him right now. He's still that young, hungry guy, but I do think that he's had his time. It's my time.
How do you like this, you know, and I don't want to say it's a merge because it's really not, but with the PFL and Bellator, how do you like how this is going to be playing out?
Yeah, like obviously more acquisition, but I like it. I think it's just going to give a lot more opportunity for the fighters. You know, now we have options of, you know, fighting in a tournament, which a lot of the Bellator guys have already gone over and done. The PFL guys can have one-off fights rather than having to go into a tournament, and they can fight in Bellator. And then they're also doing their pay-per-view events. So I think it's just you've got a lot more opportunity to be able to fight and earn and more eyes with one big promotion compared to the two promotions battling it out, essentially. So now we've got just one big powerhouse. And, yeah, I think just more eyes the better.
So, Jeremy, I'm on your Instagram page right now, and I see you're a triathlon enthusiast. You know, it says training for your next one, July 8th. I don't know how long ago that was posted. Oh, 2018. But do you still do them? Do you like them? And I know I just started running this week. My neighbor and I started a challenge. We're up to like 20 miles this week. And Randy, we're trying to get Randy some encouragement. So maybe you can give him some words of wisdom. He's got his daughter getting married in November. We got to get him in shape, got to motivate him. So what can you do to help Randy get off of his sofa and get out there and get after it?
Well, before Jamie, before you answer, just I want you to know that I do drive by the gym twice a day.
Oh, there we go. That's a start.
It's a start.
I like the triathlon just because it's kind of like a supplementary thing. It gets me out of the, you know, the fight gym, getting punched in the face and whatnot. So it's just good to get some cardio in and rough work, and I've always liked swimming, so putting it all together is just I'm not like a marathon guy or anything like that. I just like the triathlon, and not even like crazy long distance. I like the standard, so it's, you know, a little bit shorter. I think it's
the sprint series, the standard
about, but I don't do any of like the Olympic style or crazy long distance. But I mean, to encourage somebody else, I mean, you got to just kind of love it hard to jump into a triathlon or any kind of long-distance running or swimming or biking if that's not what you're into. But I would pick one and just focus on that. Maybe biking is probably the easiest. You can bike past it just a couple times with a week to start.
There you go, Randy.
All right, well, I know how you can motivate me, and this will be the final question. Since you said that you were going to get to Ireland a couple days early and get acclimated and food, and so where's a great food place that I can come and eat when I get to Vegas in 2 weeks?
Vegas, oh man, you're putting me on the spot on that. There's so many good spots out here. But for me, just because it is good balance, I like a place called Skinny Fat. So they got options for healthy. And they call it the healthy side, and then they call it happy side. So you got like fried foods and all the different types of, you know, food that's not the best that I can eat. But it's a good, and it's got like a good ambiance. They got like a beer lounge in there and everything. So it tailors to both kind of audiences, I guess. And that's probably one of my favorites out here.
Well, then I will have to give that a try when I'm out there in a couple weeks. Jamie, thank you very much for your time. Have fun next week. I know that all the work is done. Now it's entertainment, and you know, your reward will be next Friday. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as some stuff from Bucked Up Energy Drink as well.
Awesome. Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate that.
Thanks for your time. I appreciate that. Bellator 302. next week in back in Ireland. I need to go back to Ireland.
Yeah?
Had a good time. I won't do it with the same person I traveled with last time, okay. but maybe Steve and I will go hit up Ireland. All right, let's go hit a break. Coming to you live from the studio. We'll be here for the next couple of weeks as all three of our boards are being fixed. They all blew out at the same time. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong, Staff Zone, Bucked Up Energy Drink, and Bio Accelerator.
No dice, son, you gotta work late.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ralphie May, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
The world's most exciting combat sport, Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship, is back April 12th, live at Burt's Barracuda Harley-Davidson in Clearwater. In the main event, the formerly retired Mike the Marine Richmond returns and eyes his destiny. But Destiny's saboteur, Eric El Travisio Lozano, has other intentions. In the co-main event, former world champion Elvin El Bandito Brito toes the line with Jafar Fort Knox. Avoid the sellout. Get your tickets at BKFC.com.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up Energy Drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shop. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up!
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Paul Harding, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Paul Horning. There's a name.
Who?
Exactly.
Talk about people that are relevant.
Well, he's not relevant because he's dead.
Well, he didn't do a good job.
Of being relevant while he's dead?
Or alive.
No.
Who heard of him? What's he do?
He played NFL football.
No. There's a lot of those guys. Only a few people I know. Like D. Lamb, or what's his name?
C.D. Lamb. You only know him because of producer Steve.
I knew it was a C or a D in there. I knew it was D. Lamb or C.
If you could meet, if you could request to meet, and I would save them from meeting you, who would that person be?
I'd like to meet myself. I mean, you know how great it is for people. Like every time they meet me, I'm like, if I was just on the other side.
I can't wait for applications to start coming
in. Well, that's why it's hard to be in media, because, like, you guys, like professionals, like, it's hard. You guys document people's, like, amazing life and journeys. And, like, you know, so usually I'm on the other side of the camera, and now I'm on this side of it.
No, you should be on the other side.
It's tough.
Let's change things up here at Knockout Radio.
Let's do it.
All right. I want you to become the producer. Okay. So you run the cameras, and you do all that, and we're going to have Steve sitting in the chair next week.
That's what's happening right now. Cameras are set up. He's sitting in a chair doing nothing.
The only problem is you don't know how to run cameras.
Look, if that guy can run a board, I can run a camera. And if you keep running away from my workout. But this, you know, Steve, come on, let's show the world your content. Let's grab the mic. Let's talk about something you want to talk about. This segment is called The Steve Lanay.
It's a 4-minute segment.
All right. Give us 4 minutes of gold.
I don't want to talk about it.
He doesn't want to talk. All right. Let's go back to last weekend's UFC.
Okay.
Some of the fights there that were tremendous. And as always, I'm always set off by empty seats. I don't care Miami. I don't care Vegas. If you have a ticket, all right, I'm going to give you, and I disagree with it, but I'm going to give you, if you're cage side.
Yeah.
Okay. You're that high roller like the old days with the boxing, and, you know, they'd all come in, and, you know, it'd be all the celebrities and whatever in the first three rows. If you're in row 4 and beyond, you should be penalized if you're not there for the first fight.
Why? It's their choice.
I know it's their choice.
It's their choice. But you're a big proponent of choice.
No, it's their choice. I'm going to start a promotion where the doors get locked. Fire Marshal Bill locks the doors. So if you're not there at the beginning, can't get in.
I think it's a little insensitive to make a Fire Marshal Bill reference today. I mean, just saying. But the point is, I agree with you. But at the same time, the best fights, like, they're not real fans. Like,
that's true.
In a place like Miami,
I can live with that.
In a place like Miami, it's to be seen that you're there. It's not that you're
but
watching
you're not,
the fights.
But you're not being seen if you're in the 200 level. You're not
you're
being seen
by people in the crowd. You're being seen that your Instagram, that you're there in person, that you're a part of. And that's more important in a place like Miami, where image and association is more important than the fights. Because you know, and I know, sometimes the first fight of the entire night
is the best fight
that you watched. Right, not the one that has the most hype or the build-up or the biggest stars. It's this two people fighting for a dream that they see in front of them, and they give it everything they got.
And what I like is somebody would say, Sean O'Malley, main event, 299 in Miami. I remember his first fight when he was on the undercard, when he was in the Challenge, the Dana White series.
Yeah.
You know, and not everybody can say that. You know, you guys make fun of, but, you know, give credit where credit's due, that, you know, UFC 11, where, ironically, Mark Coleman fought.
Yeah.
The first event that I ever covered in person. And I'm glad that I was there. I'm glad that I saw the up-and-coming. Just like last Saturday, you know, seeing the first fight. It bothers me, and I know that I always say to ask the fighters, are you aware of crowds? Are you aware of them screaming, hollering, whatever? Are they aware that there's 17 people? But it's no different than their first fight. You know, let's be honest. I'll be judging Saturday at World Class Fight League, and it's going to be the size of the Apex.
Right.
You know, sure. It's not T-Mobile. It's not whatever the name of Miami
was. In all fairness, once they go into that, once the bell rings, they don't see anything.
That sounded
anyway.
Like a clap, not a bell. Okay.
They don't see anything, right? Everything fades away because of the sympathetic response of the fear. So all their vision goes to the opponent. Audible goes to the corner for instruction. The rest of the crowd fades away. They have no idea who's there, what's happening. The building could collapse. They won't know until after the fight's over and they're out of harm's way.
I don't think that's true.
That is true.
I'm pretty sure that if the building fell down,
you wouldn't know.
They would know.
If they stopped the gameplay, if they stopped the actual fight, but if in the act
one
of the fight,
the two fighters would stop if the building is falling down.
No way.
Oh,
If a back wall fell down in a crowded section, you think in
that
Mexico
they didn't know about?
You think in Mexico when that fight broke out in the stands, you think that the fighters actually knew or cared?
Didn't they stop to watch?
Probably. I think that guy got signed as a heavyweight contract. He had the two best knockouts of the night. He's like, I bought a scalp ticket from a guy named Randy Harris outside. He walked me in, and now, I got two performance bonuses for knocking out a fan. It's like the Cain Velasquez story. It's
now
like
a dream the scalping true. Police are calling because
yeah, calling.
Yeah, because you brought that app.
They found
I gave people tickets.
I know. You gave, scalp, same word.
No, it's not. Scalp is when you sell. When you scalping them, you're...
I thought scalping was a Native American derogatory.
Like you're scalping. Derogatory.
No.
All right, so we were going to hit a break, but I think our next call. How about the early call?
They called early?
It appears that way.
Okay.
UFC this weekend. You know, it's funny. You know, we talked about, and people talk about all the time, about too much. Is it too much? Is it too much? And then when there's a big break in between, you're jonesing for it.
Yeah.
It's like, when do we get it back? When do we get it back? When do we get it back?
Sure.
And now that it's back on track of every weekend, love it.
Do you?
I do.
You watch it every week? Are you going to watch this week?
I am.
Okay. Where is it at?
Apex. It would be Las Vegas at the Apex.
Okay. You like the Apex?
Honestly, I do.
Because BKFC, they change their square circle to 16 feet diameter. So it's a tighter apparatus. It's less ability to escape and get away. Apex, 25-foot octagon, not the 30-foot on the road. So there's definitely 5 feet makes a difference in strategy for martial arts. So... He's a John Cena guy. He's not going to see.
Yeah, he's not seeing anything.
Yeah, you can't.
Are we good to go to the phone lines?
You can't see that guy.
Are we good to go to the phone lines?
Those glasses must be.
All right, let's go hit a break. It's the bottom of the hour. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Staff Zone, Bucked Up Energy Drink, Bio Accelerator, and 8-Man Strong.
Hey, hi, this is Mike Schmidt. You're listening to Knockout Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Roasted Whisk Gift Box Company is an online specialty gift box company specializing in corporate gifting, creating a fun and unique gifting experience for your clients, vendors, or employees. Gift boxes could include specialty coffees or teas, mugs, espresso-infused baked goods, scented candles, and many more options. Check us out at roastedwhisk.com. Roasted Whisk on all social platforms.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Imagine vibrant banners fluttering in the wind, attention-grabbing vehicle wraps cruising the streets, and professional signs that showcase your brand with impact. At Compass Banners Printing and Wraps, we specialize in turning your ideas into visual masterpieces. Give us a call at 727-522-7414. Compass Banners Printing and Wraps, your compass to effective marketing.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Don King, and I'm listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris. Join me. Don't touch that dial. We got something in store for you.
All right, we are back coming to you live from studio today. We'll be here, like I said, for the next couple weeks due to the wrong power cord that blew up our boards. So we'll be hanging out here, which will be cool. But right now, I wish we were hanging out with our next guest as he gets ready to get back in the octagon on Saturday. Let's welcome back to the program Brian Barberina. Brian, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I'm doing great.
We appreciate your time. Obviously, just the start of fight week. How do you handle it? How do you get through it? And do you always keep everything the same every fight week?
Yeah, actually, my fight week's pretty chill and mellow. You know, I don't do much as far as anything but hang out in bed, relax, watch series, TV series, movies, really let my body rest and recover. So that way, fight night, you're really getting 100% ready, healed up, comfortable, me, bam, bam, ready to put on a beat.
What kind of TV shows are you watching this week?
We're doing a couple new ones. Shogun, we're gonna start watching that one. I've heard it's good. The Good Doctor, Lawnmire, and The Cleaning Lady. just some of the shows we're flipping through.
Very good. Now, a lot of you fighters tell me that, and this still blows my mind, that as you're working on your weight cut, you're watching the Food Channel. Are you one of those?
Absolutely. Yes.
Explain
that. And I like
that.
To have my corners. I like to have my corners send me pictures of the food they eat. I even like will order some food for them to eat in front of me. I enjoy it. I like the smells. I like to ask them what it tastes like and just, you know, almost imagine like, yeah, I'm going to have that after I get this done.
Well, I think, don't you have a tradition of eating pizza after every fight? Is that your go-to?
Absolutely, yes. Pizza, I got go-to. Pizza Rock is where I'm headed here in Vegas. They're going to give me, you know, I'm going to get some pizzas from them, celebrate after the victory.
Well, so my friend Tony Giminati owns Pizza Rock out there, so I can make connection.
A phone call.
Yeah, I'll send an email to Randy, and we'll connect everybody, and maybe we can do a celebration for you after you win out there.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
All right, so you get on that.
All right.
Don't forget, Matt. All right.
Done.
Do you have to, like, prepare differently when it's the Apex? We were just talking about, you know, crowds obviously smaller. You can hear everything there. Or is a fist fight a fist fight?
For me, a fist fight. I'm ready to go if it's in the Apex, if it's in a loaded arena, if it's in a backyard, if it's in the living room. I'm ready to go.
But does the size of the arena or the octagon, does it matter? At the Apex, it's 25 foot in diameter. On the road, it's 30 feet. So does that matter? Do you put any extra thought into strategy when the size is different?
Yes, definitely a little bit. You know, obviously, it's a lot closer. You know, you're a lot closer to their cage as you're circling, as they're pushing you, trying to push you back, you know. So it's definitely being aware, you know, using the footwork and everything to keep the movement that we want. And, you know, just me being the one putting the pressure, you know. Right. So I'm backing them up.
So Brian, so like when the fight's happening, your body's in the sympathetic response. A lot of fighters say they don't know of, like, situational around us. Like, you're talking about being aware. So in the Apex, can you hear everything? Like, can you hear crowds? Can you hear fans? Can you hear judges? Can you hear corners, opposing side? Or is it all white noise because you're focused on your opponent that you're fighting in the octagon?
You know, for me, it's pretty silent in there. You know, you get the occasional moments where, you know, some exchanges or whatever, you hear ooh and an ah. Maybe you hear someone like, you know, one of the commentators or a corner yell something quick. But really, then it kind of like zones right back in, and it's just quiet in there, you know, and it's just me and him going at it and playing almost like, you know, fighting chess match. But occasionally you get the sounds. I hear the sounds occasionally, but for me, it's pretty dead on focus.
Give us your thoughts on your opponent, on Gerald.
Yeah, Gerald, I mean, he seems like a really good guy. I haven't ever met him or talked with him, but he seems like a good dude. He's definitely a seasoned veteran. He has a ton of fights. You know, he's fought some great people, and he's been in this sport for a long time. He trains with a good team. And, you know, I expect him to come out and be the best Gerald he's ever been. You know, I feel like I also bring that out in people. So I expect him to come out and bring it to me. But I'm really not too focused on what Gerald's going to do. I'm going to go in there and implement my game plan instead of trying to react to his.
And that's exactly what I was going to ask next. That, you know, how much do you look at an opponent? Or is it, like you just stated, it's more what you're going to do to the opponent, not what the opponent brings to the fight?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I don't do too much film watching. Just probably, you know, I've kind of done some new things since I've switched camps, opened my own gym, things like that. And a little bit more film watching, just to build, not even just on Gerald, on myself, you know, picking myself apart and improving and getting better in positions and drilling things. But I really leave it to my teammates, my coaches, my team to really break him down and give me the looks and, you know, the insight that I need of what I need to be doing. And then really just focusing on implementing my game plan and putting it on him and shutting his stuff down with that.
What's it like to be a gym owner and to run the gym?
You know, it's new. It's definitely not your normal gym. Like, it's not open to public. I just opened a small spot. It's a closed gym, invite only. I bring in people for camps. I go cross-train at some other gyms and talk to, you know, if guys are interested in coming training at my gym as well, certain days or certain times. I'm pretty flexible, pretty open, and if I enjoy working with them and see that, you know, they're going to be there and stuff and work with me, then, you know, I invite them over and we get a lot of good work in. So I've been training. My gym is the Mud, and then I've been training with American Top Team Asheville. I've been cross-training there a lot. They've come back down to my gym as well, so we've been getting a lot of work in together. It's been great.
Yeah, very good stuff. Talk about, you know, we were talking about what it's like in the octagon and what's going through your mind. What has it been walking to the octagon? Is it the same thing? It's just so focused that you're not even aware of anything else?
You know, honestly, it's, I'm in that time, as soon as they like announce me and I like walk, my music kicks on. It's a song my kids picked, my three kids, they picked it. And so it just kind of hits a free moment for me. And, you know, I get a little dancing going on, a little singing going on, you know, kind of trot to the octagon. In that moment, I'm just enjoying the feels, enjoying the song, you know, thinking of my family and, you know, that I get to go in there and have fun. It's really not till I walk into the octagon that, you know, a weight's really, like, lifted off my shoulders. And then I finally get to, like, you get to let go. You get to go 100% right now. Everything we train for, we get to put it to work, and we actually get to let go and go 100% and put it on this guy. So the fun's about to start.
Eve Edwards told me back in the day that, you know, the work is getting to the fight. You know, the camp, everything you have to do to get to the fight. The reward is the fight itself. So like you just kind of said, that's when you can let it all go because it's reward time.
Yes, absolutely. He's 100% right. That's exactly how I feel as well. Like, the work is, you know, getting to the fight, staying healthy, you know, getting everything. The reward is the fight. I love it. I enjoy it so much. It's a lot of fun to me. And as soon as I walk in there, like, I'm not trying to hurt my training partners and stuff. I'm not going 100%. Yeah, we're going hard, but obviously I'm not trying to finish them. In this, I get to release. I get to go 100% and put all the things we've drilled and done to work and have some fun.
So Brian, you know, talk about the reward. When you get that celebratory pizza on Saturday, ask for the Texas Hot Honey. I know my friend RC sent out a bunch to Tony, and it's unbelievable. It will change the dynamic of the pizza. So ask for Texas Hot Honey when you go to Pizza Rock.
Texas Hot Honey. I'm all for that. I'm definitely going to ask for it.
I certainly don't want to back up Matt or help Matt in anything he does, but I used it last night on the rotisserie chicken that I got at Sam's Club.
It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. Before we let you go, just kind of curious, hobbies, things that you collect, any of that stuff?
You know, I'm a farmer. I love to work on the farm and be with the animals and do that, so I guess that's my hobby. Not too big on collecting things, but I keep my fight stuff, all my fight gear and fight worn stuff. That's for my kids. So I collect it for them to give it to them to do whatever they want to do with it when the time comes.
Well, speaking of your children, when I did my 32 seconds of research, I saw that you have three children. What are their ages?
15. My son's going to be 13 next month, next week, and then 10.
All right, so it maybe, even though I think it's cool, I like to always give gifts when the fighters come on, and we're going to send you a couple things as well, something from 8 Man Strong and a care package from Bucked Up Energy Drink as well. But I want to send your three children. I met this guy who owns Fantasy Pets, and they're digital printers that they make these dragons and really cool things out of. So not only am I going to send a couple things for you for coming on today, I'm going to have them send three, one for each of your kids as well.
Oh, man. Thank you so much. That is awesome.
And Brian, since you're a farmer, we had a conversation earlier. Where do you draw the line like between domesticated animals and wild animals, and what do you eat and not eat? Randy says if it has a face, it's off limits.
I didn't say that.
Oh, I said
you said vegans and all that.
Well, I say because well, they. Say,
I said I'll eat you if I'm hungry.
They said that a fish, because they don't have make a sound when they die, they're emotionless. So like if it has an emotion, then it's off limits. But where say you, the farmer and the expert on the show right now?
So we raise all our animals for meat. You know, obviously we have our breeding stock, which is not for meat, but what they produce will be meat, and we raise that. So, if we do separate it though. If it's gonna be meat, we don't, you know, there's a little border. You don't want to get too attached. We had done that in the past and weren't able to do it, so we definitely keep a little, you know, barrier between getting too attached and getting attached to the ones and naming them and stuff. We definitely don't name ones.
My daughter's godparents or godmother owns a farm up in upstate New York, and they named one of their cows Emily, which is my daughter's name. And yeah, she was a little devastated when she found out they ate the cow.
Well, maybe if you walk your dinner before you eat it, Randy, you'll lose some weight before the wedding.
Brian, thank you very much for your time. Enjoy the next couple of days, and more importantly, it's Christmas on Saturday, and have fun.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me on, guys. Always great talking with you guys.
We'll talk to you again.
Looking forward to putting on a show.
Absolutely. It's going to be fun to watch. All right, let's go ahead and a quick break. Coming to you live from the studio, this is Knockout Radio, brought to you by the man-eating talk show host. This is or Knockout
PETA.
Radio.
We're going to do PETA.
This is David Wells, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Conveniently located in Pinellas Park, Cool Breeze AC is just one phone call away. Reach them at 727-954-3605. And their highly skilled and knowledgeable technicians will be at your service 24/7, ensuring your ultimate comfort all year round.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Bernie Williams from the Yankees, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
I'm glad you're entertaining yourself.
That's the Eye of the Tiger.
I know what it is.
There's a meme I saw where like Rocky was standing there, and then the tiger had an eye patch, and they're like, "We got to talk about it." You know, it's Took his eye.
Whatever. So you're talking to Steve about what he would, what he wouldn't. Yeah, what wouldn't you eat?
Oh, I'm not really that cannibalistic kind of guy.
No, I understand that. And you've always, made the reference to you're starving, there's nothing else going on. Yeah. So I would assume you're starving, there's no food around, any of that you would eat almost anything.
Yeah, you would have to survive, but I don't choose to eat any of that stuff. Like, especially if it's emotion. I mean, if you have a name associated with it, like he was talking about, or slaughtering Emily's cow. I think it makes it personalized, and then you're attached emotionally.
Well, just don't name it. Cow. Yeah.
Well, at Burger King, they name it, number one, number two, mm-hmm. number three, mm-hmm. all the way to seven.
What's the number seven? Seven patties?
We don't talk about it anymore.
All right, if you could go to any restaurant in the Tampa Bay area, where are you going?
Speaking of royalty... did you see the queen?
So much for food. Okay.
Is being criticized for photoshopping their pictures. Not being authentic with being genuine. Photoshopping. Do you think the royal family should lead by a different example, a better example? Are they obligated to be authentic and genuine and show wrinkles and aging and unflattering photos, or are they like the rest of us and can show whatever we want?
They can show whatever they want. Have you ever been to London?
No.
Have you ever been to the palace?
I've not.
Have you ever been to the castle where the jewels are?
No.
When I went with, the UFC was in London, UFC, I don't remember, 30-something, 40-something, and Matt Hughes and the team and my favorite co-host or one of my favorite co-hosts and I, and they said a lot of the jewels that are in there are fake.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Some are real.
Right.
But some they've had to do other things with, and they've used, so it's not. So is that the same thing you're saying about being, genuine and whatever?
I think it's more about body image and self, distorting reality because that's, the narrative because it makes them look good, as opposed to just being genuine and like, hey, we're your leaders, we're your royal family. But, I think it matters. I mean, the BKFC belt had real diamonds in it when it was stolen, right, behind the stage.
Well, that was the story. Do you really believe that they were real diamonds, real gems?
I mean, they're really there.
They were really there, and they looked really right. Bright.
I mean, Lorenzo would have broke them anyway. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
Somebody steals them, or Lorenzo just breaks them. Lorenzo had the greatest line last week. He did Tony's show, and he said that he sets his alarm, because we're talking about spring ahead and, time change, and he said he sets his alarm for 4 o'clock every morning, and he beats that up. At 3:58, he's awake. And then he beats his son up. And then he said, there's no way.
He beats his son up?
No, he said he beats the son up.
Oh, the son.
And then he talks about how there's no way Nick Sherrill can beat him up because he beats those things up. And that's the inner standard of a champion. Those are the things you wouldn't understand.
What's the size difference going to be? Do you know?
Tall, big, or... longer. The big advantage for Mick. Mick has a huge advantage. He's a natural heavyweight.
Right.
But I think
and Lorenzo's a natural middleweight.
And Lorenzo's a monster. I mean, he's got that fire, that determination. So that willpower overpowers a lot of, physical advantages. So it really is probably going to come down to who just wants it more. Honestly. It's one of those kind of fights that you really don't know who's going to win. On paper, Mick should retain the belt. But you can never discount Lorenzo. Everybody's been betting against Lorenzo since day one.
Sure.
And he still keeps just knocking people out. Right? So, but I thought it was a great mindset into the mind of a champion. Like, it's like the inner standard of excellence. You wake up, without an alarm forcing you to get up to go do what you're supposed to do. He's awake, already motivated to go do it.
So do you think less of me that I did the same thing this morning? Well, I had to do some work before I went to the Bucks and before the show. So I planned on getting up at 6.
Okay.
And I got up at, it was roughly 5:50.
Okay.
And I said, I'm going to stay here till 7.
Okay.
So I didn't get up early. I stayed late, but I still got everything done I needed to do.
Well, I think that's fine. I mean, it's time management. Right? But like this morning, I got up and I didn't want to go for a run, but I woke up. And I went for a 4.2-mile run. And then we added a Ukrainian guy to our group. And now he's setting, the pace. and it's a lot faster pace. So these 4 mile runs are crazy.
Why does it have to be a Ukrainian guy?
Well, that's where he's from.
Yeah, but why couldn't you just said you met another guy and he's now running with you?
Cool, because I don't know his name.
Let's get a Russian.
Well, he's a Russian would be, you know.
Why does this guy refuse to talk on the mic, but he screams from across the other corner?
Won't turn it on.
He should be.
It's on.
I've been over here 20 times.
He should be a Russian because that guy was running with a quick pace. You know?
I don't get it.
Well, the Ukrainians don't run that fast.
I don't get it.
Because they're not Russian.
That is a stupid, stupid joke.
Why?
Renaissance Festival tickets.
Yes, we've been giving them out all day. Clearwater Beach, spring break is in effect.
I think I'm going Sunday.
Are you?
I think I'm going to go Sunday. It's going to be an action day, and it's an action weekend. Okay. So Saturday, a little judging at World Class Fight Lake.
You are pretty judgmental.
And I requested and received the special edition 8-man strong St. Patrick's Day shirt.
Oh, nice.
So I'm going to wear that.
I'm an XL.
When I judge.
Moving down to a large.
Can I finish?
Sure.
So I'm going to wear that when I judge. And then my plan is, even though it's a long drive, I'm going to take some of the kids and we're going to go to the Renaissance Festival. I've got some food vouchers and I'm going to go eat some turkey legs. And then on Vet Ticks, they had one of the Cirque shows, which I think is at the Trop.
Okay.
So if you were a betting man,
yes.
And Steve's mic is on as well. So the judging I'm definitely going to.
Yeah.
On the two events on Saturday, if you were a betting man, do I do none, one, or all, or both?
Well, I think the Renaissance Festival is a food-driven event, and as long as you didn't name the turkey where there's an emotional attachment, I think you would eat the turkey leg.
Well, I would eat the turkey leg if I get there. My problem is it's like 80 miles. Is it 80 miles, Steve?
That's not that far.
About 80 miles.
It's just past my house. I mean, it's probably 50 miles.
From your house?
From where you are.
No.
No, I would tell you 20 miles from my house, maybe 15.
Want to bet?
Yeah, I mean...
How much you want to bet?
All right, we can bet.
We'll bet live on the air.
Right.
I'm so sure. I may even put up the...
I'm not giving you my address on live air.
But I'm so
It's in Dade City, right?
I am so confident I may put up my Oscar Schmidt jersey.
Dade City is only like 20 miles from my house, probably.
All right.
It can't be that far. And from my house to St. Pete, downtown St. Pete, it's like 45 miles.
Wow. It's an hour and 45-minute drive... From the studio.
Yeah, but there's so much traffic getting across spring break.
Well, that's 2 hours.
What's the distance? Give me the distance.
Yeah, what happened to the distance?
Talk into the microphone.
What happened to the distance?
Oh, my God, you're a rookie.
The distance you speak away from the microphone is annoying, Steve. Like, get close.
It just says an hour and 41 minutes.
No, it gives distance.
75 miles.
75.
Right, it's a lot more than 50.
That's less than 80.
Right.
It's a lot.
There we go. You went
over. So over,
you went
under.
You went over. Price is right. You're wrong, Bob.
Over, under, or am I going to do one? Am I doing none, one, or two on Sunday?
I mean, the laziness in you probably like Trop's close. I can just go down there. It's easy. But I think you want to take them to the festival. I think you like the Renaissance Fest. I think you're a fan. I think you like to go out there and eat and walk around.
What do you think, Steve?
Thank you.
I'm going to say zero. You basically want to go to zero, and then you end up going to zero.
Well, no, if Steve picks you up and drives everybody, then you're not going to all three.
Well, I'm definitely going to go judge.
Because the car will break down?
Well, no, because you'll give him a ride. Like, he doesn't go anywhere if you don't drive him. He's like Daisy.
I just drove to the Arnold Palmer Invitational.
Yeah?
I drove to
Orlando. I made him.
He did.
Yeah, that was good.
I think I volunteered, and then he made me.
But yeah, I mean, speaking of action-packed weekends, the Grand Prix had your boy Bon Jovi in attendance.
Yeah, and Bret Michaels.
Bret Michaels. So which one's a better musician? Which one do you like better?
Wow. I honestly, before I went and saw him in Atlanta, I've always liked him. I liked him when he was on The Apprentice. Poison was cool, and CeCe DeVille and did something for... Ryan Bennett when he passed away. I think I would have said Bon Jovi before I met him. And when we met him in Atlanta and the show, and I've never seen Bon Jovi. I've always wanted to, but I can't afford those prices. I don't know. That's a tough call. That's a tough, tough call.
He said musician, not performer.
Oh, is there a difference?
Well, there is a difference. Yeah.
Who does a better live show?
Well, that's still a performance. That's you said musician.
Well, so two categories. Which one of the two, Jon Bon Jovi or Bret Michaels, who's a better singer, better catalog, body of work, which one of those two is a better live performer or stage presence or entertainer?
I know. Let me ask the musician guy.
No, it's tough. I mean, today, I believe Bret's voice is holding up a lot better, but back, in the day, let's say both their heydays, I don't know. It's really tough. You would want to say Bon Jovi only because he had bigger success, but I don't know. They're pretty even. And same with playing guitar and writing songs, pretty much even.
I'm going to say Bret Michaels only because that's who I saw. I haven't seen Bon Jovi. Bret Michaels puts on a hell of a show, and there's very few people that I would want to go see more than once because I'm always bored to begin with. I would go see Bret Michaels again.
If Jon Bon Jovi owned a bull in the Professional Bull Roader Rodeo Association.
Bull Roader?
Bull Riding Association. What would the name be?
I don't know what.
Steel Horse. I ride.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. All right, let's get to the top of the hour so I can just get rid of this moron next to me.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.